Amen. How many, Bill, you retired now. You're retired. Rex, you're retired.
Depends on who you
talk to. Yeah. I got a little thing on the internet the other day that was pretty funny. I thought I'd read this to you. It was kind of a funny thing. Entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship. Okay? All right. Outside of England's Bristol Zoo, there is a parking lot for 150 cars and 8 buses. For 25 years, its parking fees were managed by a very pleasant attendant. 25 years. The fees were cars $1.40 and buses $7. Then one day, after 25 solid years of never missing a day of work, he just didn't show up. So the zoo management called the city council and asked it to send them another parking agent. The council did some research and replied that the parking lot was the zoo's own responsibility. The zoo advised the council that the attendant was a city employee. The city council responded to the lot attendant had never been on the city payroll. Meanwhile, sitting in his villa somewhere in the coast of Spain, France, or Italy is a man who'd apparently had a ticket machine installed completely on his own, then had simply begun to show up every day for 25 consecutive years, commencing to collect and keep the parking fees estimated at about $560 per day for 25 years. Assuming 7 days a week, this amounts to a little over $7 million. And no one knows his name. Retirement. Well, you know, we plan on retiring. In the Lord's service, we don't retire too much. We plan on doing something. I always empty classes was going out and do something eternal. Because one of these days we'll be with the Lord. And we need to take some things with us. We're, you know, this is 4th of July and everything else. How many of you know that down at Camp Pendleton they're teaching the Bible in the Eight Ages now? Down at Camp Pendleton Marine Base, they're using our material to teach the Bible in 8 ages. All right. Did you know that? Oh, you didn't know that. Well, this came from the chaplain down there. His name is Mike Green. And everybody say hi to Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. All right. And this was so... It was so outstanding a statement. And a letter, he wrote this email to me that I asked him to post it on both websites. And this is it. Dear Dr. Phillips, pornography is one of the plagues of our time. Our inability to appropriately monitor the internet has allowed our youngest children to be impacted by this leaven. It is so amazing how the times have changed and how the entire world is moving in an ever-developing, interdependent global economic system. Being a person who has spent several different times traveling the world with the military, my observation of the global synchronization of the cultures is very accurate. In other words, he's seen it. He lived among it. As a young man, I spent several years in the Army stationed in Germany, 1976 to 1985, as an enlisted man. Back in those days, there was a very obvious presence of old world customs and cultures all across Europe. Today, I would say that many of those standards have been abandoned, and everyone looks like and acts like Americans. Just think about that for a while. As a chaplain, I have spent 12 years with the Navy traveling Europe and the Middle East and the Far East, and have seen that the Western influence of our American lifestyle has effectively been a leaven that has changed everything. Once upon a time, Christianity was a respected faith, but today, especially in our country, it is increasingly becoming a byword. The age of tattoos and body piercing is substantially bringing us to the place where we are called to receive a mark to participate in the public marketplace. Most will do it without any thought of holy and biblical prophecy. When we hold planet Earth, or when we hold these days over against the 50s, 60s, and 70s, days of Hal Lindsey's late great planet Earth, the metamorphosis of our culture and the presence and influence of the emergent church and its deliberate attempt to illegitimately marrying the gospel to the flesh world of today. In other words, make it easy for the world to come into the church. And you can't tell the church from the world. World today is, I believe, for those with this discernment grievous. My point in saying all this is that we have got to keep on breaking the ground, planting the seed, and preaching and teaching the word. The internet is a fountain of good and bitter waters. But as you see, there is an absolute hunger for hope, the blessed hope across the world. The home and a the Lord is coming. I retire next year after 22 years of active duty, and I'm planning to go back home and initiate a free Bible Institute in El Paso, Texas. Till the Lord comes, let us keep on fighting the good fight and doing things eternal. Remember what I said? Doing things eternal. Do things that are eternal, that will follow you into eternity. Blessings, Brother Mike. I thought that was a great, great email.
Who's that from?
That's from the chaplain at Pendleton Marine Base.
Oh, okay.
At Camp Pendleton. Yeah. He is teaching our Bible in 8 Ages class down there to the Marines. So anyway, that's something, you know. But just think about it. Remember what I've said over all the years, that how the negative influence of greed in America has just affected the whole world. You know, people, now this is an absolute fact. People, and I'm not beating on you women, all right? Okay, that's not the deal. But people, you know, a young men, old people, a lot of different people, when they go get married, I know several people that left this country and went down into Mexico, to the Philippines, to Japan, all over the world, and got themselves a wife. And the wives are obedient. They are home loving. They believe in, you know, this is what the rest of the world is this way. They make homes. They are wives like they were here 150 years ago. All right? They bring them over here, and in 4 or 5 years, they leave them. And they're out and just acting like the absolute ravenous run under the wheel American today. America has had a horrible influence on the world. Morally. But we don't have to go that way, do we? We don't have to go that way.
Huh?
Well, in some ways, yes.
Do
what? Yeah. But just think about it for a while. Now, this is 4th of July. This is a time that America declared independence from Europe. And we look at that. But do you think we're going in the wrong direction just a little bit? The only thing that I can tell you is spiritually go in the right direction. I don't care what else is going on in the world. Spiritually go in the right direction. Spiritually hold to your guns, so to speak, Brother Bill. Spiritually, hold to those things that the Bible teaches. And as I've gone through the Old Testament, we're all the way up to 1 Kings today now. 1 Kings is where we are. All right? 1 Kings, the first chapter. That's where we are today. Now, we've gone through the whole Old Testament. Do you see the rise and fall of many nations in there? If you study world history, you see the rise and fall of nations. And the greatest destruction of nations is the moral issues. The family falls apart. People in the family quit caring about each other and they just go their own ways. In the Old Testament, family meant a lot, didn't it? We were studying about Isaac and Jacob and Esau. We studied about Israel. You know, Jacob became Israel. And they watched over each other. And one of the things about in the Old Testament that you have to remember, the law that was set up in Israel was so that no one could become rich and overlord over other Jewish people. That's why they had such high taxes. You know, the richer people were paying 30 and 40% taxes. Did you know that? The richer people in the Old Testament were paying 30 and 40% taxes to keep them from getting the upper hand. And they could not charge usury. You know what usury is? What's usury?
Interest.
No Jew could charge another Jew interest on anything that he did. And not only that, but if a guy got in such bad shape that he had to sell his land. All right? Now, who owned the land? Who owned the land? God owned the land. Only families owned. They had a place in a period. In other words, right out here in East Bakersfield, so to speak, over there between so-and-so street and so-and-so street and that street and that street over in this block, that's the Bill Hawkins family. They could never sell that. But what if somebody got real bad, the daddy or whatever, he got hurt, a horse kicked him, a mule gored him or something, and he got so bad he couldn't work? Well, he'd have to sell his property, but they couldn't sell it forever. It had to go back. They can only do it for 7 years. If you sold yourself into slavery, they could only keep you as a slave for 7 years. And any child that was born to you was free. You know what that was for? That was to keep those that are more affluent from getting control over everybody else and then going into the hands of the few. All right, that's the whole story of the Old Testament. That's what it was about. You just study the law. That's what it's about. It's protecting people from each other. Brother Bill.
And if you look down the years, you believe it. If you'll notice in the Bible, every story, when the moral started crumbling,
yeah,
the nation started crumbling,
yeah,
and went into bondage.
Yeah. All right. First Kings. Might tell you a little bit of. You know, I used to teach economics, and I taught political science and Western civilization. That was what I taught in college. And how many of you pay income tax? Anybody pay income tax?
Yeah?
Yeah? All right. There was a guy running for president last time that said income tax was illegal.
Huckabee?
No.
He's got to do.
Ron Paul did. Probably related to him. He said it never was. Income tax was, I just thought I'd throw this little thing in here. Income tax was instituted to pay for World War I, remember? The common worker was never supposed to pay any income tax. Did you know that?
Unless you work for the government or
state. No. The common man was never supposed to pay income tax on his wages. Only big businesses, the big corporations, paid income tax. It was on what profits they made. The man, the individual, was never taxed. Guess what happened a little bit later? The corporations don't pay taxes now. Guess who pays all of the taxes? The working man, out of your wages, which was never supposed to be taxed. All right. They turned it around on us just a little bit, didn't they? Just a little bit. First Kings. All right. First Kings chapter 1. Now, we know that David had a lot of trouble. David just loaded down with problems. I feel like David. I twisted my ankle, and so I worked on that. I had to wear a different pair of boots, which I'm not wearing today. I put those high top boots on. It helped my right foot, but my left foot was killing me. So I damaged my left foot wearing the boots to protect my right foot. I've been riding so much lately, I've been just crippled up and everything else, couldn't do anything, so I've been sitting riding. In about 2.5 weeks, I translated 20 chapters of Genesis from Hebrew. I'm all right at the end of it. I'm almost finished. But guess what happened? Now I guess I've got tendonitis, and I woke up yesterday morning and I couldn't write. So I started writing left-handed. Boy, problems. Problems. Well, David had a lot of problems, didn't he? Lots and lots of problems. Just constant. And as far as I can tell, the only real terrible mistake that David made in his life was when he got mixed up with Bathsheba. And that was, he knew who she was. He knew her husband and everything else. That was pretty intentional. And then he numbered Israel. And boy, what happened when he numbered Israel? A whole lot of them died. All right, because he didn't want to trust in the Lord. Now, who had taken care of David all those years? Who kept him? Who kept him alive from Saul and all the other nations? Everyone. He was, like Samson in the Old Testament. Remember Samson? Samson. He may have been a scrawny little old guy. I don't know what he looked like. But what gave Samson all the strength?
There.
Jehovah.
Yeah.
Jehovah. He had to keep the vows of the Nazarite. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. But he had broken every vow. He ate grapes. He wasn't supposed to eat grapes. He drank wine. He wasn't supposed to drink wine. He cohabited with women, illicit women, prostitutes and everything else. He did that. Still, he was strong. Now, he did all these other things. He was strong. But what vow left did he have? He wasn't supposed to cut his hair. Now, the vow of the Nazarite basically was you became a priest for a while voluntarily. Even though you weren't born in the family of the priesthood, you became basically a priest. You couldn't, when the priest was serving, see, he couldn't do all these things. The priest couldn't basically, he couldn't cohabit with his wife while he was serving as a priest, and he did this for so many days at a time. He couldn't eat grapes. He couldn't drink wine. He had to abstain from a lot of different things that normally everybody was doing. But as a priest in service, he couldn't do those things. A Nazarite was a voluntary priest. A Nazarite. Now, a Nazarene, Jesus was a Nazarene, and a Nazarene means somebody from Nazareth. All right? Somebody that grew up in Nazareth and what he did. Well, he broke every vow, but what? Cutting his hair. When you looked at a Nazarite, you knew he was a Nazarite because he had long hair. You all look among all of these men out there, and they all had long hair. The Nazarites did. Everybody else trimmed their hair, but not a Nazarite. All right? Because he was a Nazarite to who? To the Lord. So the last vow that he broke, and he lost his power, was when he told his girlfriend, what was her name?
Delilah.
When he told Delilah. And how many times did she try to get this out of him? Several times. And he kept on falling for it until he kept lying to her. And she said, oh, you don't love me. You lied to me. So she finally cuts his hair. And he wakes up to shake himself from his... Every time he's tied up. He wakes up tied up. Boy, how would you like to be living with a woman like that, Brother Norm?
Would not.
No, would not.
But if you were really strong, you wouldn't care if you just break it.
But he finally told her the truth, and he woke up, and he was bound, and he was weak. He was weak. All right. Now, 1 Kings, the first chapter.
Addle-brained.
Now, King David was old. Now, even when he's old, he's going to have trouble, tribulation. He was old and advanced in age, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. So his servant said to him, let us seek a young virgin for the Lord of the king. Now, he always liked women, didn't he? Now, what's going to bring a guy back to life more than a beautiful young girl? Well, that's what they... You know, they knew David. You know, so let's look out here. And let her attend the king and become his nurse, and let her lie in his bosom, that my lord the king may keep warm. Now she's going to wake him up, and she's going to rejuvenate him, and she's going to give him a little life, because they love king. You know, they wouldn't let David go out and fight wars anymore, would they? Remember that? A lot of people don't realize that, but they wouldn't let David go out and fight wars. I'm going to take this thing off for a moment. Maybe. They wouldn't let him fight. Number three now. What do they find down there? Linda, you want to read that number three for me?
So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag and what?
The Shunammite.
And brought her to the king.
All right. And number four, Brother Norm?
The girl was very beautiful. She took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no intimate relations with her.
All right. Now let's read that, Joanne, from your Living Bible there. Number four.
The girl was very beautiful, and she waited on the king and took care of him, but the king had no sexual relationships with her.
All right. He was too old. He just... Even though she was so beautiful and everything, David's too far gone. He's gone. Now we know that Abraham, what?
He didn't have Viagra no more.
Yeah, well, whatever. Didn't do it. He was just too far gone. All right. Now we know that Abraham, when he was 100 years old, he had children. Past 100 years old, he had children. And there are men in the world today that can have children really old. But David is gone. He's just barely hanging on. All right, just barely hanging on. Now it says, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself and saying, what? I'll be king. All right. And so he prepared himself chariots and horsemen with 50 men to run before him. Now he's going to have runners before him like a king. All right. Now he's going to go out and he's going to take over this guy, Adonijah. All right. And then verse number six, Dr. John.
And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, we have not done so. He also was very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom.
All right. Boy, now here we go. This is one of David's kids, all right. And he's real good looking. His father didn't rebuke him, didn't keep him in line. Sometimes you can love your children too much, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes you can run, love them too much. Brother David Ash, number seven.
Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abithar, the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah.
All right. And number eight, Brother Rex. Oh, Shimei comes up, doesn't he? He's being faithful now. He's changed his mind. He straightened up, didn't he? David spared his life. Number nine, Brother David.
And Adonijah and Nijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside Enrogel. And he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants.
But he did not invite Nathan the prophet. Look at there. Benaniah, the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. And Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother. Now, Nathan, who's Nathan?
He's the cousin of David, the prophet.
He's the prophet of God. He's the prophet of God now. Nathan's the prophet of God. Now, he's not the priest.
How's he related to David, though?
Nathan?
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's related to David at all, Nathan.
Where did
he
come from?
What?
Where did he come from?
He's a prophet of God.
Okay.
He's a prophet of God. All right? And he did not knight Nathan the prophet of God, and Benaniah, the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. And Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, now he goes and he talks to Bathsheba. Now remember, she was in trouble before. But David had promised that Solomon, That's the first child she had after that she had the child that died. Remember that God took the child's life, but now the next son, he's going to be the king of Israel. And that's what God wanted. And have you not heard that Ananias, the son of Haggit, became king, and David our Lord does not know it? So now come and please let me give you counsel and save your life and the life of your son Solomon. Now what do you think if Adonijah got on the throne? What do you think he's going to do, one of the first things? He's going to chop everybody's heads off that might threaten him or might be a threat to him. So go at once to King David and say to him, have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your maidservants, saying, surely Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne. All right. So now, evidently, Bathsheba must have been a lot younger than David, huh? Maybe 20, 30 years younger than he was. All right, so she's still up and going. David's in bed. He can't get out of bed. He's just bedfast. He's old and down. All right? Why then has Adonijah become king? Behold, while you're still there speaking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words. Now, this is a plot. A plot for good, but it's a plot. Okay? So now they've planned all this stuff before she ever even goes in and sees her husband. All right? So Bathsheba went into the king, into the bedroom, and now the king was very old, and Abishag, the Shunammite, was ministering to the king. Now, this is his new girlfriend. This is his concubine. He's never consummated their marriage, but this is the concubine. So here she goes in there, and she's got this beautiful girl in the bedroom with him. But this is to be expected. You know, this is the things of the times. So she didn't think anything about that at all, Brother Brett. No, nothing. All right. Can you read the next verse, number 16? You don't have your. That's an F minus for today, brother. That's a failure for today. Y'all's going to give you an A plus. I was going to give you an A plus. Yeah, a Z. We're going to go from F to Z, huh? All right. Number 16, Brother John.
And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. Then the king said, what is your wish? Then she said to him, my lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. So now, look, Adonijah and I, who has become king, and now, my lord, the king, you do not know about it? He has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon his servant he has not invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will happen, when my lord the king rests with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders.
All right, they're going to be killed. Now this is what David wanted. You know, he wanted Solomon to be his heir. Now, Solomon, in so many ways, we're going to see this, is a type of Christ in the millennium. Now, Solomon was an ungodly buzzard in so many ways, but his great glorious throne is like the glorious throne of the Lord Jesus in his millennial reign. The temple that Solomon was going to build is a permanent structure, isn't it? The tabernacle was what? A tent, something that was moved around, right over here. That's the tabernacle. Now, I know that there are some pictures or some similes. I've drawn up a little thing of the Temple of Solomon. But you know what? Most everybody is all, you know, when you go to Israel, what do you see? Anybody been to Israel? You been to Israel, Brother John? No, what? Huh? Well, over there by the Dome of Rock, but not too far from there is a miniature model of the Temple of Herod. I'm going to tell you something. Herod's temple never had the Shekinah glory in it. The only temple that ever had the Shekinah glory in it was Solomon's temple. All right? That was a type. And we're going to look at that not very many weeks ahead of this. All right? We're going to be looking at that right when we get ready to build this thing. And Solomon's going to get ready to build it. We're kind of going to study Solomon's temple a little bit because it's very important. Okay? Let's look here a little bit further. Now, where did you finish 22. Off?
22.
All right. Go ahead from there.
Okay. And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in.
According to the plan.
According to the plan.
Yeah.
So they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground.
All right. Both of them fell flat on their faces to the ground. I mean, that's the way they did. Before a Oriental king, that's what they did. I mean, the king could order them to be dead instantly if they didn't do that. Even his wife had to do that. Bathsheba, the woman that he loved, came in and prostrated herself right on her face before the king. And then when he spoke to her, she could get up. And then when David spoke to him, he could get up. Go ahead, Brother John.
And Nathan said, "My Lord, O king, have you said, 'Adonai shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne?' For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abathar the priest. And look, they are eating and drinking before him, and they say, 'Long live King Adonai.' But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benani the son of Jedaiah, your son's servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord and the king after him?"
What do you think Adonijah means?
Tell the light or something. No, usurper.
Come on.
Usurper.
Usurper. But what is it? His Jah is in his name. Jah is what? Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
What is Adonai?
Lord.
Lord Jehovah. He had a real good name, but he had usurped. He had usurped his authority. David named some of his sons really good. Solomon means what? What's this? Shalom.
Peace.
His name means peace. Now just think about Solomon. Now we have Jesus coming first of all as the over here. When he comes the first time, what did Jesus come as?
Servant.
A servant. Riding lowly upon a donkey. Okay? When he comes back here, what's he going to come like? King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will have a... And what we call this, the millennial reign, is called the reign of what? The reign of peace. That's when the earth has peace. So here we have Solomon. His name means peace. Alright? And this is the time... And when his reign was... Israel was at what? Peace. Because David had brought all of the nations into subjection. Just look at this. You know, the Bible just completely repeats over and over and over again and tells us exactly what's going to happen. Tells us exactly what's going to happen. David, Jesus, when he comes back in his second coming, he's going to bring the world into subjection in me. He's going to have a great battle there with the Antichrist and all that stuff, and what's going to happen? He's going to slay them with what? The sword of his mouth. He's going to slay them with the sword of his mouth. He's going to destroy all the nations. There's going to be basically 5/6 of the nations are going to be destroyed. 2/3 of the Jews will be destroyed by the Antichrist's armies and everything, and the Antichrist himself. And then we're going to go in with 1/3 of the Jews left and 1/6 of the nations to start in a reign of peace, for a 1,000-year reign of peace on the earth. That's what we call it. This is what old John Calvin wanted, was the city of God. He wanted to bring in the millennium. And even the Southern Baptist Convention in the early 1900s, this is just right after the turn of the century. What? No. The Southern Baptist Convention in the early 1900s said, "If you give us enough money, we'll send out enough missionaries out and we'll bring in the world we'll bring in the millennium. Because they thought they were going to bring in the millennium. They did. Now this was, you go back and read history now. Back in the 1890s and early 1900s, the Southern Baptist Convention, the idea was to convert the world to Christ. And they would bring in this millennial reign. They completely didn't have any idea at all about this. They had John Calvin's idea and Martin Luther's idea. Now, among some little old conservative Baptists back at that time, they were preaching about what we call dispensationalism, as we see. But dispensationalism, God deals... What is dispensationalism?
Making allowances.
What?
Making allowances.
Well, what happens is that God deals with mankind in different dispensations. Does he deal with people today like he did with Adam in the garden before sin? No. So that was a different dispensation, and what it means is house law administration. All right, now how that then he dealt with mankind out here in conscience. See what happened? They had a responsibility to do good and offer blood sacrifice. What did they do?
Wickedness.
All right, and they sinned, and then what did God do to them? He brought the flood judgment. Every one of these has judgment. So that's a different dispensation of time. So we go on, and then we find out we have the flood, and then after the flood, what is their responsibility? Scatter and multiply. What did they do? Did they scatter and multiply? They built a gigantic city. One gigantic city that we're told about is Babylon. And they built the what?
Tower
of Babylon. And then God confused the languages. All right. Now, last Sunday morning, we talked about when the languages were unconfused, didn't we? Unconfused, or was that Sunday night? Maybe Sunday night. All right. The language was unconfused on the day of Pentecost. But right here, God confused the languages, and what else did he do? What did he do to the world? He divided it. He made continents. Okay? And now, God calls out a man. And his name is what? What was the man that God called out was going to be have a family for his name?
Abraham.
Abram. His name wasn't Abraham yet. He was Abram. Abram. All right, which means exalted father. Okay? Abram. And God calls him out and he tells him to believe him, to go into the land that God had prepared. And he said, leave here and go into a land that I've prepared for you and I'll give it to you. Now we find out Abraham never had it. But he promised it to him. Have any of you ever seen heaven? No. None of us have ever really glimpsed into heaven. Linda's got a cousin that's about to go to heaven. You're praying, we're all praying that she will slip into eternity without all the pain. She's basically at the last breaths of her life and heartbeats of her life. And she will experience heaven. Maybe before we do. Sometimes you don't know how long you've got, do you?
No.
Are you going to be here tomorrow, Brett?
I hope.
Yeah, but you hope, but you don't know, do you? We don't know. I mean, we see people that just drop dead right now. Just zip. We expect somebody else to die. I remember my cousin, you know, Fred Buss. You remember, any of you remember Fred Buss? You remember Fred Buss? You met the Buss family, Mike and all of them, and Jason Buss and all of them. That was their father and grandfather, all right? He's my cousin. All right, his sister was married to my cousin and all of his family and everything. Well, Christine got cancer, and they were expecting her to die. And Fred run around over here to church. He retired and everything else. He's working at the church every day. And one day out here, Fred died. Zip. Had a heart attack, massive heart attack, and died. You remember that, Brother Bill? You here then?
Yeah,
we had a funeral for him and everything. And Christine, he expected to go to her funeral, but she went to his funeral. And we were all there with all the family and everything at Fred's funeral. We didn't expect Fred to go, but he went first. Now, Fred knows what heaven's like today, but none of us do. We just don't go glimpse. I read books about people going to heaven and coming back. I don't know about that. I don't think about it. I mean, I don't. Yeah. Yeah. I think we I don't think we need anybody to come back from there, because we have had people do that. We had examples of that in the Bible. All right? We had people resurrected, all this. I don't think we need any more of that. But we don't know what it is, but we trust that God is going to get us there. We do eternal things, you know, and God will get us there, and our rewards will follow us.
Well, here we are all the way down here to the church age. Now, the church age, the tabernacle, in David's time, is a type of the church age that we have today. All right? The tabernacle.
But then David, he goes out and he conquers all those nations, and he brings all of them in subjection, like Jesus did over here. And then we bring in the millennial, the age, the thousand-year reign of peace, Solomon's reign. So I want you to remember that. As you look at all of these dispensations, everything that's happened in the Old Testament just keeps repeating over and over again what's going to happen. It is no, if you study the Bible, none of this should be any, it shouldn't be any surprise. Okay, no surprise. Let's go on down here. Where did you finish up here the last time? So Bathsheba's there. And
Number 28.
All right, Brother Norm, 29.
Then King David said, "Call in Bathsheba." So she came into the king's presence and stood before him. The king then took an oath, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble, I will surely carry out today what I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place." Then Bathsheba bowed low with her face to the ground, and kneeling before the king, said, "May my lord King David live forever." King David said, "Call in Zadok the priest." Nathan the prophet.
Now here we've got Bathsheba there. We have got Nathan the prophet. Now we've got the high priest, Zadok.
Nathan the prophet and Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, when they came before the king, he said to them, "Take your lord's servants with you and set Solomon my son on my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah."
Israel and Judah. Remember that. All of Israel. Solomon is supposed to be king over all the whole tribes of Israel. It's not a split empire now. Okay? Not split. All right. Number 36. Yes, Brother Rex. They had split. Yes, they had. Remember what happened with Absalom? When David took over the nation of Israel as the king, what part of Israel was he over? He wasn't over Israel at all. He was over Judah. He was over Judah. All right. Finally, he brought all of them underneath him. All right. When Absalom finally got up, which means peace from the father, when Absalom came on, he gets up there and he undermines his father David, and he splits Israel again. So he takes the 10 tribes, and David is still over Judah. Okay? And they get rid of Absalom finally, and Israel is one nation again. So we've had the division twice already. But Solomon is going to be over the whole nation now, not just Judah, but Judah and Israel. All right? Does that answer your question, brother? Many people don't realize that Israel was divided between Judah and Israel before
Saul and David,
before Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam and Jeroboam just did a redo of what had already happened before. Okay? All right. Are you understanding this a little bit better? I hope that, you know, a lot of people, this is really foggy. All right? Really foggy about that. All right. So, Brother Rex, where were you?
36.
Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, "Amen. Thus may the Lord, the God of my Lord, the king say."
Oh.
The Lord has been with my Lord,
so there we have. Now, Solomon's throne is going to be great, isn't it? Solomon doesn't have to fight, does he? Is Jesus going to have to fight any more battles over here in the millennial reign?
No. At the end of it, he will.
But not during the thousand-year reign. He's not going to have any more battles. Brother David. Yeah, number 38.
So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, and the
Pelethites
went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." All the people went up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. And Adoniah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating.
Well, you ever hear about the old preachers they used to preach out in the Brush Arbor days? They said that, remember Brother Rex, they said some of those preachers were so loud they were knocking acorns off the tree and splitting them. You remember? Knocking the acorns off the tree with their voice. Well, some of them did. They would fall off of them. Their voice was so loud. The vibration. Now, the vibration of these people was so loud that the earth was shaking and splitting a little bit. This is a lot of racket, so to speak. A lot of racket. All right. They were making such an uproar. All right, where are we now?
In the middle of 41.
In the middle of 41. Go ahead, brother.
And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, "Why is the city in such a noisy uproar?" While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abathar, the priest, and Adonai said to him, "Come in, for you are a prominent man, and bring good news." Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonai, "No. Our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Jethroites and Pelethites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule." So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him.
Okay, now hold on there just a minute. They're probably riding on a donkey, a big donkey. Okay? They're probably riding on a big donkey. Now, Jesus, when he rode into Jerusalem on his triumphal entry, what did he ride?
Donkey.
A donkey.
Was it a guinea or a colt?
It was a donkey. It was a colt of a donkey. It was one that had never been ridden before. He tamed that donkey and rode into Jerusalem on it. All right? Now, when Jesus came the first time, he came riding on a donkey. When he comes the second time, how is he going to come?
The end of the tribulation period. How's he going to come back?
What's he going to come back on?
Chariot.
Oh, now come on. Now, who, Brother Rex, you know.
A white horse.
And he's going to have an army on white horses. All right. Now, let's go. Go on, Brother David.
So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed him king at Gihon. And they have gone up from their rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise you have heard. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom, and moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, "May God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne." And the king bowed himself on a bed. Also, the king said thus, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day, while my eyes see it." So all the guests who were with Adoniah were afraid and arose.
Okay, now the word there means they were absolutely terrified and struck out of their senses and shaken in their boots. That's what that means.
They're a group of traitors.
Yeah, because they were traitors, weren't they? They had usurped the usurpers, like you said a while ago. They had usurped the throne. He had no right to the throne, but he was thinking about himself only when the old Adonijah. Okay, Brother David, go on.
So all the guests who were with Adoniah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. Now Adoniah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar.
Now what was this? What's this all about? Where's the horns of the altar? Well, they didn't have a temple. Well, they had a tabernacle. Now, if a guy... What?
Did they build one?
Oh, they had a tabernacle. Here's the horns of the altar right here. Right there. See those? That's the horns of the altar right on the edge of the altar of sacrifice.
And what are they saying? Save me! If they hold on to the altar of sacrifice there, that's where the sins were forgiven, basically. Right there. That's where the sacrifice and the blood was shed. Right there. Okay? And then if they came and got a hold of the horns of the altar, they could be safe. That's a place of safety. If you want a place of safety today, where do you go? To Jesus' feet and say, Lord, forgive me and save my soul and forgive my sins. All right? That's kind of like a type of that today. Everything that you see in the Old Testament is a type of something yet to come. Something yet to come. All right. Who was reading? Brother Norm? Who was?
Actually, David.
David. Okay, David. Go ahead.
And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, but King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword.
Now, he would have killed him, wouldn't he? He would have killed Solomon, I can guarantee you. All right, go ahead there, Brother Norm, on 52.
Solomon replied, if he shows himself to be a worthy man, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground. But if evil is found in him, he will die.
All right, he gave him another chance, didn't he? Another chance. You know, we have a God of the second chance, don't we? So Solomon already is a type of what?
Christ.
Of Christ. He's showing mercy. All right? The signs of the second chance. We always have another chance with the Lord, don't we? We always ask His forgiveness, and He forgives us. All right, go ahead now.
Then King Solomon sent men, and they brought him down from the altar. And Adonijah came and bowed down to King Solomon, and Solomon said, go to your home.
All right, go to your home. So here we have Solomon as the type of Jesus today again. All right. We see this. And so many times, Solomon did some bad things in his life, didn't he? And boy, the end of his life was a mess. But so many things about Solomon are a type of the millennial reign and a type of Christ. All right? Now, Brother Rex. Well, he had great wisdom for a while. As long as he was trying to do God's will. But once he got his eyes off of Jesus, once he got his eyes off of Jehovah and started looking around and seeing all that he had that God had given him, then he started being too affluent and started using people and started enslaving them. Now, that's exactly what the Lord said was going to happen when they got a king on it. And Solomon was a type of the epitome type of the king that would use all of them and enslave them with taxes. All right, and he did, didn't he? He did it. He did it. He did quite a job. Well, that's the end of the class. Now, we're supposed to be, I don't want to start today. We don't have, Brother John is already gone. I was going to ask him. That we're supposed to run our class from 9:30 to 9:45 pretty soon.
Not yet.
From 9:30 to 10:45. They've announced it this morning. Are they going to do it today?
No.
Not today. All right. So I can turn you loose today. I know the young people are already doing that. Their service is already running at 10:45. Do you have any questions about any of this? You've been real good about participating today and all of that. And appreciate you coming. Who's supposed to be doing, Brother? Brother David, you're here today. Boy, there you are. How come you're not over here? Where are you? How come you're hiding? Oh, that's right. You did have to supervise, didn't you? All right.